favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
And on that note,
wait, but why the flavors? I could have worn mine.
On that note, let's go ahead and get started.
That's great. That's a great intro right there.
Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. Joining me, as always, Anthony Fuentes,
the only other one not hungover,
Phil Acevedo,
hungover and still ready to freaking pound another one.
And Danny Gutierrez.
Let's get it, kids. I'm hungover too.
Yes.
Hey.
Everyone turn their gain down a little bit.
Slightly. There we go.
All right,
I'm just going to start screaming louder.
Sundays.
Let's. What a treat. It is our 6-month tradition, guys. We are very ready to discuss the critically acclaimed, the famous, the well loved Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
We never lied to our audience more ever. Wow.
Why you gotta lie?
Way to break the trust they built over half a decade here.
Gotta do it. So let's go ahead and get started. Danny is going to introduce this as our guest.
Ooh, what am I doing? What am I reading?
You are reading everything down to where it says
resurrecting?
Yeah.
You know the format. Yeah, come on. That was a hangover delay right there.
Labels, man. I like labeling. Halloween 2. Laurie Strode struggles to come to terms with her brother Michael's deadly return to Haddonfield, Illinois. Meanwhile, Michael prepares for another reunion with his sister. Written and directed by our boy, Robert Zombert.
Okay, you have to give context.
Okay, so when Robert Alex and I were watching this...
Okay.
I don't know why she said we were talking about Rob Zombie for some reason.
And I needed and like, to full name him she was for
like,
some reason.
Yeah, she was like scolding him like a parent. And so she comes in, Robert Zombie? And I'm like, ma'am, it's Zombert. Like, put some respect on his name.
You're like, that's disrespectful. It's Roberto Zombie.
I pretty much keel over from
laughing. I like Robert Zombert. That's good.
Robert Zombert is one of my favorite things. And I'm going to casually drop that in my everyday life now.
Oh, that's if he was like a cubicle worker.
Zombert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just at the courts, we're like, and Robert Zombert. Sorry.
Sorry.
Starring Malcolm McDowell, Tyler Mane, everybody's favorite, Sherry Moon Zombie.
Bunch of fibbers on this side.
Oh, man.
I always struggle with Brad's last name.
Dorif.
My love of my life, Daniel Harris.
This is the month of Daniel Harris, by
the way. Yes. I got real hyped about
it. Yes, it is.
And Lori, played by Scout Taylor Compton.
Straight out of Compton.
I know.
I had to do it.
The box office numbers. The budget was $15 million. It was released on August 28th of 2009. And it grossed $39.4 million.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Which, it seems respectable, but it's not. It's definitely
fuck you!
Not. Hey, the studio says it wasn't.
You know, Webster, are you defending it already due to just box office numbers?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, if that's your artillery, if that's your ammunition, then good luck today.
Man, Phil, we got to get some water and coffee in you, buddy. Hey, you know what, Webster?
Webster! No!
Phil, you are across the table from me today.
There's never going to be a time when Phil does it. It's not going to make me laugh. That is fantastic. Okay. Let's,
which means, in the words of Lord Voldemort, I can touch you.
Oh my god. Hungover Phil just laid out against it. Webster with their finger, like, I can touch you. It feels like, whoa!
Oh my god, dude.
Meanwhile, the neighbors are like someone's getting touched and making weird noises? Do we call the police or?
Hello, God. Ma'am. I think there's a Robert Zomber attacking people.
I'm already having a good time.
Oh, this is great. We, again, we can never get to the main bit. It always has to be get around about it. But we're here. We're here. So, despite being critically panned, Robert Zombie.
It's stuck.
Julia Gulia? Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween was a huge, and I mean really actually very huge success. It was the most successful Halloween film till that time. The new king at the helm of the Myers house, Mr. Malek Akkad, saw the same thing in this new direction that his late father saw, Mustafa had seen many times before, and that being dollar signs.
Here comes the money!
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Money.
I love how I predicted that, because they had a bit of an issue, however, as they had worked Mr. Zombie to the bone during the last installment, and he was over in every way possible. There would be no Shane McMahon music. You didn't even read ahead. We know
crazy.
Each other too well.
That is so nuts. That is nuts. I did not. Yeah. Wow, dude. I love it when I do that. Right? Dude. I love it when we do that.
We just do. Yeah,
you write him. I predict the next line. And,
that's why we hired him.
It's an ongoing thing.
With the promise of financial riches for this round, unless they looked elsewhere, Malek looked toward France. Yeah.
Ooh.
I know. He looked in the direction of Europe. So Malek snatched directing duo Julien Maury and Alexandre Bustillo. So how do you say that in French, Alex? I don't know.
Les incompétents.
That was great. I thought he was going to do a Pepe Le Pew accent.
I don't know about the last name, but Alexandre.
Okay, that's good. Okay, well, those guys, they actually pulled them from the Hellraiser remake happening at the time, putting the shape's future in their hands. Now, the two had helmed the critically renowned film Inside, which is about a pregnant woman stalked by a mad woman who wants her child for herself.
It's so good.
Have you seen it?
It's so fucking good.
I haven't seen this. Actually, when I was reading about this, it made me really interested in this duo. Apparently, it's a great movie.
It's an incredible movie. I recommend the unrated version. It's intense. It's a new French extremity film, which we all know and love.
We've covered it a couple times.
Which we all know and love on this podcast, but I highly recommend it.
Is it streaming somewhere?
We have the technology. We can figure this out.
Technology. Yeah.
Let's add that one to the list at some point.
When did Inside come out? Like early 2000s or what?
Early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So seeing as this was going to be a direct sequel, Malek needed a creative team unafraid to push the boundaries. Or so he thought. Is it streaming? Is Inside?
It's on Tubi.
Everything's on Tubi. Everything's on Tubi. Yeah. So Malek thought these people would be, they'd be his boys. However, that turns out the duo's first draft was less than stellar. Less than stellar. With Malek saying, quote, "These Frenchies now."
These smelly Frenchmen.
These French bastards.
Les poupous. These guys were French. So there was something lost in the translation somehow, end quote. Yeah. Gave him the hard F right there. they immediately called up Rob Zombie and essentially begged him to return. So Malek gave Mr. Zombie a creative license with the picture, telling the director, quote, "Don't feel hindered by any of the rules we've had in the past. I want this to be your vision, and I want you to express that vision," end quote. This turned out to be a relief, as Zombie didn't want anyone else telling a story within his version of the Halloween universe, having developed an attachment to his take on the characters. He didn't want to do a standard story, or simply retread the original Halloween 2. The director was intent on the classic trope of, it fucking fucks everybody up, subverting expectations.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Subverting expectations.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I guess so, huh? That's always a great baseline for your movie.
Anyway,
Alex, bring it to us.
This movie is No Carpenter Clones.
Yeah. Nice. Very nice.
The listeners can't, but that is the title.
I love it.
So, in terms of changes, Zombie went straight for the characters and almost completely discarded any beats from the original Halloween 2. This was going to be his movie, goddammit! Scott Taylor Compton and Rob Zombie chose a much darker take on the character of Laurie Strode, focusing on her trauma after the events of the first film. Laurie gradually learning the truth about Michael would be the center point of his version of Halloween 2. The change in Dr. Loomis's character was actually Malcolm McDowell's idea, as he found the idea of playing the same character again pretty boring. Instead, he and Zombie used Loomis as a commentary on hack opportunist TV doctors like Dr. Phil.
I like douchebag Loomis. Loomis, yeah.
Douchebag Loomis is a highlight.
Douchebag Loomis is fucking incredible. It made me so happy.
Alex, keep reading, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have something you wanted to add, Phil?
Yeah, about douchebag Loomis. Douchebag Loomis.
Yeah.
Scumbag
okay.
Loomis.
I'll take it right here, dude. I'll give you a little. I'll give you a little taste of what I think. My thoughts on douchebag Loomis. Here
sir,
it is.
Sir, you're yelling.
Here it is.
Sir,
here. I'll just give you a little taste right
here. Ow, my freaking ears!
In the iconic words of Don Corleone in The Godfather. Look how they massacred my boy. That's a little taste of how I feel about the... Well, we'll get into it later. Alex, please continue.
Unfortunately, this level of freedom was short-lived. Due to some bullshittery from the Weinstein Company, fuck the Weinsteins, as we say on this podcast.
In particular for this movie, trust me.
Oh, okay. God, yeah, I bet.
You know what, I'll allow that just because it's about the Weinsteins.
Yeah.
We can hang on them all the time.
Yeah. No, I, for this next sentence also, yeah.
Oh. Halloween 2 would go on to be the zombie film with the most studio interference.
Good yeah, they
Christ.
They pulled the rug.
They fucked them over.
Mm-hmm. Classic rug pull.
Mm-mm. On day one of shooting, the Weinsteins clashed 2 weeks of shooting from the schedule.
Slashed.
Clashed.
Oh, I put that. Put
I'm Ron Burgundy.
slashed. Yes, my
bad. Weinsteins slashed 2 weeks of shooting from the schedule, forcing Zombie to remove several scenes from his finished script.
I was doing so good. I was doing so good until that point.
The next thing to go wrong was the recasting of young Michael Myers for the flashback scenes. This made me so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Original remake actor Dag Fiersch had signed on and even filmed a few scenes, but the team soon realized that the actor had grown too much between installments.
This bitch was tall.
He was pretty big even in like that first one. He was like
you could tell that he was gonna be a tall motherfucker.
Yeah he was a husky boy. They definitely cast it right the first time.
They had to let him go and redo all the scenes with a new actor. Speaking of reshoots, early in the production, Zombie had to have footage shipped for development, which was subsequently ruined at the airport when the canisters were x-rayed, making the reels unusable. Forced several days of reshoots. This sucks. Yeah. I didn't know any of this.
They cut 2 weeks, causing Zombie to actually shred whole sections of the movie, and then they're like, oh, and also redo the whole beginning again.
He had to reshoot a lot of stuff in secret, too.
That's like fucking insane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he shot a couple of days without, he just let, like, a small people, he just took a small crew with him and a camera, and...
It's like non-union time, non-union time. Nobody knows about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
Zombie didn't even want to film in Georgia, despite those sweet, sweet tax breaks. All of his other chosen locations were experiencing severe snowstorms, and he was forced to make Georgia work for his story. Mm. So he kind of had a lot going against him at
this point. And actually the rain was not taken into account for the shooting either. So severe rainstorms kept happening. So the scenes where the rain takes place, that's real rain that they did not plan about.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, because I was like, that's too strong to be real rain.
Nope, the hospital scene in particular in the beginning with Lori, that's a real storm. They were planning to do that shit just that night.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had to reek, but they only had so much time to shoot, so like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We're going live, and that was it.
We're doing it live.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Fucking thing sucks. We'll do it live.
That's what Weinstein sounded like, yeah.
So that's... Yeah, I'm sure that was great.
Both similar level of pervert, too. It's amazing.
Damn it. So things got so bad that at one point a paranoid Rob Zombie was suspecting some of the staff were stealing money from the production. Holy shit!
Those guys got a lot of donuts. Are they stealing the craft services? Those donuts in their pockets?
Yeah.
Are they taking the donuts home?
Yeah. Can you imagine being like on the crew and our boy Robert just approaches you and he's like, "What are you taking? What are you taking with you?
Empty your pockets right now. Empty right fucking now. Yeah, this isn't your pen. This
is
my pen."
We're like, "Dude, just tell me you took the raisins."
Yeah. you know I like the chocolate sprinkles.
God damn. Also, just like Rob Zombie, just like as like a person, like just seems kind of menacing. So I would just be like, I didn't take anything. So like a paranoid Rob Zombie, I would just be like, oh.
But he's always so fun, like in every other interview and everything he's doing. And this, to see them like dicking him around.
So they're just like basically just like emotionally manipulating the fuck out of this guy. And just making him paranoid as a motherfucker.
Yeah, like he really loves this universe. We can dangle that carrot. Right. We can dangle that carrot.
Just make him nervous as hell. Zombie regular Bill Moseley, who had appeared in all of his previous works, quit the production after one day due to the insane interference from the studio, causing the team to scramble for a recast.
Yeah.
Wow, that sucks. Mm. Love Bill Moseley.
He wanted to be in this one. He wanted to keep the streak going, but yeah. I think he just walked in set one day. He's like, "Oh, dude, this is bullshit. This I'm out.
Yeah. This is a mess, yeah."
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way, without much interference from the MPAA, of all people, Robert Zombert's Halloween 2 was wrapped and ready for audiences. And a lot of uncertainty from all who worked on it.
Ooh. Yeah, there's actually a lot of horror stories in the
that's
making
insane.
Of this one. Unfortunately,
yeah, I didn't know a lot of the shenanigans about the production of this movie.
They let him write the script without any hindrance, but then when it came to shooting, they're like, "That's kind of we don't want any of that." Actually,
we don't like it.
Instead of being up front, we already hear he wrote it. How about we just jigger everything to make sure that he can't film the things we don't want him to film?
Yeah.
Mm.
All right, we'll talk about this sophomore slump. When critics finally their mitts.
That's another one right there.
Wow, that's
that was
two.
His first sentence.
What am I supposed to say?
Finally got their mitts.
When critics finally got their mitts on Zombie's Halloween follow-up, they tore it apart even worse than his 2007 remake.
Ooh.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it ended up with a 23% critical consensus, reading, quote, "Zombie shows flashes of vision in the follow-up to his Halloween reboot, but they're smothered by mountains of gore and hackneyed, brutal violence." Hey man, so I feel like the people who wrote that are also people who like Terrifier, and no, like
it's also like 2009 Rotten Tomatoes, so it's a whole different meta at the time.
That's true. Also, I feel like that they might have liked it more if he got to make the movie he wanted to make. Because they
it would have been more of a zombie movie.
Flashes of vision.
Yeah.
I feel like they would have liked it more, fuck you, Phil, if...
We'll get into it.
I'm reserving it. Say everything. You just let it out right now.
You're like in The Simpsons when they're having that fight on the lawn. There's that one guy with the white suit. He's like, he's not moving. Like, he's gonna do something cool. Oh, come on.
Do something cool.
Oh, fuck.
Also, for context, Phil and Anthony are on one side of the table. Danny and I are on the other side of the table. And we're going to yell at each other.
Blood will be spilt at some point.
Let me just make a correction right there for you, Webster. You said that me and Fwinster are on one side of the
if
table.
If you say right side
it's
of the
correct
I'm
side of the table.
I'm going to fucking throttle you.
Head of the table.
That's not how that works.
Acknowledge us.
Acknowledge us. Play the music, Phil. Play the music.
Get fucked. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you.
I feel like she's going to go into a rage. Like in the middle of beating you two, she's just going to beat me.
Take it out.
What did he do?
Take it out.
He was
Danny.
There.
Oh, fuck. Timeout did provide a positive review, however, saying, quote, "Zombie remains committed to showing how violence lingers with and perverts all who are touched by it."
Mm.
Hey, man. We all enjoy some violence. The New York Times clapped back, summarizing the film, saying, quote, "Halloween 2 is full of in jokes and references, but nearly devoid of wit.
Spicy, okay.
Yeah, the New York Times not pulling anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it came time for audiences, they were almost not very enthused.
Also not very enthused.
Also, sorry. So
a little drunk. I'm almost enthused, but I don't know.
The film opened with a respectable $16,349,565. Despite it being $10 million less to make than his 07 remake. Unfortunately, the following weekend, the film would plunge to a whopping 64.9% and continue to fall from there.
Good number reads, though. All right, Danny.
I enjoy numbers. I like math.
Was it?
Do my taxes.
I heard 16,000.
No, I heard
16,349,000.
My ears are fucked and I'm hungover. Yeah.
I was like, you're hungover. I apologize.
Hungover
gang. The studio tried to salvage it with an October release just a few months later, and the result was a mere 475,000 added to its grand total of 39,421,467 doll hairs. Yeah. Yeah, it beat a lot of the older Halloween movies, but in the era of remakes and torture porn, everybody's favorite type of horror, it was a huge disappointment at the box office and a far cry from the Halloween film Zombie made just 2 years prior.
I almost thought I typoed 2 weeks prior. In my mind, I was like, there's going to be one more typo.
Did anybody see this in theaters in 09?
I did.
Yeah, I did too.
I was too young.
Man.
Okay. I wanted to watch it, but I was like,
I was a 15? Freshman in high school. Yeah, I was like 14, 15.
I was poor. I was too poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
recession,
hard.
Recession was
time.
Was
yeah, recession time.
This was definitely like the time when I was working in high school, and it was like the one weekend I had off. And my friends were like, you guys want to go watch a movie? And I was like, please, just go watch Halloween with me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be alone. I'm going to go watch this movie.
I was like,
and this is my only free weekend.
I thought you were going to be like, you guys want to see a dead body? And you're like, how about just the movie instead?
Yeah. That was weird. I was 21 or 22 when this one came out. And I remember being stoked because I actually enjoyed the first Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah.
And I remember, this is where I started really taking notice of, like, box office numbers.
Coming soon, Doug. Net, baby.
ComingSoon.net was the website where I would go, and I'm like, all right, let's see how this movie performed. I wouldn't give a fuck. I just got interested on how box office worked.
How much money are these people making?
And I just remember hearing the plunge from Halloween 2, and then, like, despite how I felt about it, I was like, damn, that kind of sucks. I was like, damn, that's a big plunge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when I started focusing on box office numbers and stuff like that. And that's, Halloween 2 is one of the movies where I started caring about box office shit.
Well, that's one thing too. I didn't see it in theaters, so I didn't know if it was good or bad, but I felt really bad seeing the numbers also because I cared. And I was like, oh, wait, but the first one did like gangbusters. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I got like, I'll turn around then week 2, 64 drop. I'm like, oh, ooh. But, you know, in terms of box office, you know what was the highest animated opening of all time just this weekend?
Super Mario.
Oh, no shit, really?
Of all time.
I haven't watched the movie.
I was thinking I might go see it today.
Dude, it's so good.
It's actually really good.
It is good. Yeah. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
I had a really good time. Much.
I'm trying to put nostalgia to the side, but I still loved it.
I think nostalgia helps a lot.
And nostalgia definitely helps, for sure. But yeah, if you haven't seen Super Mario, go check it out. It's so fucking awesome.
But yeah, it's literally one of the highest grossing. Like, it did insane.
It's really cool.
I think the only thing that it didn't hit is Frozen 2, is like in terms of like a 5-day thing. But yeah, it's insane.
I enjoyed the fuck out of it. I want to see it again. Yeah.
I'm going to see it again too.
Yeah. I want to see it again.
Really?
Yeah. It's fucking fun.
It was
fun.
That good.
It was just fun.
It was just fun.
It's not like, look, Super Mario.
Okay.
Look.
He'll do anything to not talk about
The live action one that came out 30 years ago.
Sure.
All right. The bar was pretty low, right?
Sure.
This Super Mario movies just needed to be good. And it was. It's not fucking cinema, but it's fucking awesome.
I wasn't
awesome.
Anticipating fucking cinema.
But it's awesome, though.
The Italian hands are coming out, by the way.
I did two of them. But definitely go check out Super Mario.
One more thing, though. I looked at the demographics. Apparently, 41% Latino.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I always had this theory that Latinos have grown up love Nintendo, particularly because Mario looked the most Mexican.
He did.
Of all
that sticker that we got. It,
yeah, Mexican Luigi.
Yeah, Mexican Luigi.
Mexican Luigi is on my water bottle
right now.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's so cool.
The brownest Luigi I've ever seen.
See, this is terrible. I need it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was like, 50 cents, I can spare 50 cents.
Yeah, they were like a dollar. Yeah.
Okay, now for a less resounding box office back. Result. Yeah.
There we go.
When asked if Zombie would ever return for a third Halloween film, the director said, quote, "No, I cannot see that in any shape, way, or form."
Never!
Never!
He immediately got to work on his version of The Blob, which inevitably was also canned. They're like, Robert, please, no.
Yeah.
Please take a seat. We've had enough.
You're only as good as your last movie. That's the rule of Halloween.
You've done enough, Robert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Despite Halloween 2's disappointing results, everybody's favorite family, the Weinsteins, wanted to do a follow-up a mere year after 2010 and rushed Halloween 3D into production with a new creative staff.
Oh, sounds gross.
Please tell me how to pronounce this man's last name, because...
Lucier,
that's what I was thinking.
Patrick Lucier, who directed My Bloody Valentine 3D, was set to direct and... Was set to direct and a script was written, thank you. Though Scout Taylor Compton and the crew from the Zombieverse opted out of working on the film, and the production team ran out of money just before filming was set to begin.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
They said... Peace.
Yeah. I think Zombie may have partially bankrupted them a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, when you gotta shred everything and then the airport fucks up your movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good lord.
People stealing donuts. That's just art speculation.
I know you took it! Yeah. The project was in limbo for many years until it was ultimately canceled in 2014. Dimension Films lost the rights to Halloween franchise just a year later.
These are the dark times, yeah.
The dark times equals the next timeline. So, breathe it in, Webster, breathe it in.
No, thank you.
All right, here we go.
I'd rather choke.
Here we go. Zombies Halloween 2 may not have been appreciated in its time, but is it appreciated in retrospect? If Letterboxd is anything to go by, well, not really. Halloween 2 has a 2.4 out of 5 rating out of 11,000 reviews. Pretty standard stuff for the less popular films in the franchise.
Real quick note, though. Mm-hmm. There's the popular review section, and then there's the other review section, Letterboxd, right? Yeah. The popular reviews, almost 5 stars, like... off common.
Sure.
The other section,
what
almost
other section?
Ones. It's the popular reviews
popular
and recent
reviews.
Oh, recent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's funny, the dichotomy between both. It's insane.
I just read popular because they're the funnier ones.
They are the funnier ones, but man, I had never seen such a divide of like 5-5-5, 1-1-1, 5-5-5, 1-1-1, this whole fucking thing.
It sounds like some Shudder reviews too. Like if you ever look at the review section for just random movies, it'll like, like Skinamarink was one of my favorite ones. It was the same thing. 5-5-5. What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? 5-5-5. And I'm like, oh shit, this is all over the place.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of another divisive film. Well, our boy Tony the Terror gives it 4 stars, saying, quote, "It's so relentlessly violent and unashamedly dark that mean that I'm willing to overlook the incredibly unnecessary and stupid parts like the whole strip bar scene." KYK also gives the film 4 stars, saying, quote, "Love hurts. This fucking rules."
Love hurts!
Jesus Christ.
All right. Raphael Parker Jovine says in their 2.5-star review, quote, "Well, it's not as bad as I've been told, but it's also not as good as some YouTubers have been telling me."
I'm with you there, Raphael.
Olivia Angry gives the film 0.5-star, saying, quote, "How the fuck is this worse than Resurrection?"
Olivia, no!
Olivia,
yes! Olivia's not finished yet.
Olivia is angry.
Turns out they can get even worse, even when you think there's no possible way. Who looked at the 2007 one and thought, quote, "Yeah, let's add to this shit," end quote. Olivia Angry sounds very angry. Yes. But goddamn, I really like that one.
That's a good one.
That's a funny one. People swinging for a movie night.
Sounds mad.
And finally, Leighton Tent, I think I pronounced that correctly.
Leighton, yeah.
Gives the film 3.5 stars, saying, quote, "One man's trash is another man's art." That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Pretty apt.
Let's continue here. The Weinsteins would focus their horror budget instead on Wes Craven's Scream 4 before ultimately discarding the Halloween franchise completely.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, it was the duo of John Carpenter who was disheartened by Zombie's portrayal of Michael Myers as Jason Blum that would take the reins of Halloween of the Halloween franchise and provide their own spin on Haddonfield's favorite mass murderer.
Is it Jason Blum or Jason Blum?
I think it's Blum.
I think it's tomato.
Blumhouse.
Yeah.
So it'd be Jason Blum.
Tomato.
It's whatever speaks to your spirit.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
People know who he's talking about.
Everybody knows Jason Blum.
Jason Blumbert.
However,
he wants to make me mad. He's just trying to make me mad.
I'm not. Let's continue before I get my ass kicked and pile drive through this damn table.
No,
it would break. It would break.
I'm very fond of this table and it just got fixed.
I'm about to get 3D'd. Danny's going to be the D-Von.
Yeah.
And Webster's going to finish up 3D through the table.
On the couch.
What? Webster's gonna be like, Danny, what? Get the table! Alright, let's continue. However, we'll get to that full story when we talk about David Gordon Green's 2018 sequel, simply titled Halloween, sometime in October. For now, let's debate this bold attempt / misfire in the Myers saga.
She's screaming and she's angry.
I said bold.
Yeah, you also included misfire, which I think isn't very
it's on the nose.
Relative of you. What kind of researcher are you?
Hey,
I'm trying to stay impartial.
Box office misfire, definitely, huh?
Oh, so now we're judging movies based on how well they do in the box office? When have we ever done that?
Okay, no, you're right, We'll just judge it based off it almost killing the franchise for 9 years. There, that's it. That,
you know what? Sometimes, you know what? Oh,
I love the anchor. This is great.
Body language right now, yeah, on Webster.
She's like, are you fucking... Yeah. I'm going to get 3D'd afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do that. I would kill you.
Yes.
I can't do that to Fwen because I would break him like a toothpick.
Yes, do you guys remember Liar Liar with Jim Carrey?
Definitely.
She
yeah.
is really portraying the opposite of Jim Carrey's lawyer. It's like, you want to play hardball? I'm game. And then Jim Carrey goes, you want to play hardball? I'm game. Dude, you are that lawyer right now. All right, guys. Looks like we're already in discussion territory.
Yeah.
Fletcher, take the wheel here.
Let's see here. I'm gonna go back and forth, and I know who likes it and who hates it. But for the likes it crowd, Danny, you're the guest here, buddy. Mm. Thoughts on Halloween 2? All
right, so I do think it's kind of fun. I did like Douchebag Loomis. Not because they like ruined like the what Loomis was from like the original movies, but I do like the it's a kind of a modern idea on like he either becomes Loomis from the OG or becomes that douchebag mm-hmm. who like does the press tour and re-releases books and like I mean of course you know exposes Laurie as his sister and like she doesn't know and so like kind of fucks up her life. I did like that idea where he is a kind of scumbag.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny when he was on the talk show with Weird Al. And he's like,
Chris Harvey.
You've been accused of taking people's lives and changing it. And Weird Al's like, well, I get the permission from all the artists. And he's like, oh, you're talking to him.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit killed me. That was so funny.
That was the most 2009 segment of the whole fucking thing.
That was so good.
And he just deserves so much better.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favorite thing about this movie.
Weird Al? Your favorite thing.
My favorite thing about this movie was Weird Al.
Just knives out already.
I also did like Laurie struggling with her own surviving the events of one and kind of dealing with her therapy and like watching her struggle in therapy and like cusses that the lady out and gets in her face and shit and obviously when she finds out she's Michael's sister, she kind of just loses her fucking mind and goes off the rails. But I did like struggling with her own mental illness, Lori, because that, I mean, I think that was a little, a kind of like a now thing, that people struggle with their mental illness now, especially after like traumatic events. Obviously not watching your friends and family get murdered, but like that bad. But
hey,
like,
some people do.
Some people now.
Yeah, some people do. But like that was, I thought that was kind of fun. But also this movie is full of in-jokes and like references to even the older movies. There's their costumes are Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Halloween party.
That's right, huh?
And I told Alex, I was like, dude, I constantly forget that they're like that. And so when they walk in and she's dressed like Magenta, I was like, oh, fuck, that's so cool. And like, their costumes are actually pretty dope.
It is made with love in that sense. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Zombies are a pure horror fan for sure.
Also, what version did you guys watch? Because I have the director's cut at home. And that's the one we watched the first time we watched it. The most recent time we watched it, we watched the original one. And I was like, that's not how this ends. And I'm like, oh, yeah, never mind. There's like four different endings to this fucking movie.
Yeah, I watched the one that was on Pluto TV. So whatever one was on that one.
That's probably the theatrical one.
I would imagine,
Damn, there was a free version.
Yeah, there's a free version. With commercials that aren't the most inappropriate times. That's just how it works.
And you know what? I don't want to help you. Like, if we're going to get into a debate, I welcome it. I don't want to. But if you want to play hardball, I'm game. However.
If you want to play hardball, I'm game.
But, I really hate to help you guys here, but if you, I recommend not bringing up the director's cut in order to help your guys' case.
Yeah, I actually...
Because that director's cut was trash. That was like, look, I get it, studio interference.
Why did...
The director's cut was... I'm sorry, keep going.
Have you seen the video showing the differences between both of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dead Meat one, right? They go really deep into it.
I haven't seen the Dead Meat
one. Please watch both versions.
There's 13 minutes of difference between both versions. I think the director's cut has a much more agitated and like psychotic Lori throughout the entire movie, where the theatrical she's a little more stable but also still kind of fucked up.
In the director's cut she was more, I'm just gonna say, she was more of an asshole. She was a real fucking piece of shit treating Danielle Harris, or welcoming him into their home, like a fucking she was a total C word. I'm gonna go that far and say it.
Sure. Content, she's a lot of very content-driven
individual. She was a real asshole. Both Lori's were whiny and like, my prescription! And I was like, god damn, she really delivered that line like that. Man.
Also, Annie lives in the fucking middle of nowhere on the skirts of, like, the fucking...
And what did Lori do to her room? Why does her room look like a fucking subway station, dude?
Huge
they
welcome
you into their home, you just spray can everything.
The bathroom.
Like, what the fuck? Wait, you're the worst fucking person to welcome into their home.
I think I said this last time we watched it with the bathroom. I was like, man, if I'm the sheriff and this bitch moves into my house and fucks up my bathroom, she's homeless. Do not fuck up my bathroom.
Why would you do that? What like, kind of...
Like, these people will give you hot meals three times a day.
I understand you went through some shit in the first movie, but what the fuck, man?
Like, man, please don't take it out of my bathroom. You're lowering my
house. It looks like a New York subway station, dude.
I think that's just like a lesson in like not having boundaries. Like at any point he could have been like, hey, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
I would love that if you didn't.
In the regular version, she was less assholeness.
I remember in the director's version, she wasn't like, there was a scene in particular where she was like a straight up bitch to Annie, and I was just like, and then in this one, in the regular version, you don't have that, which I did appreciate. Like, their friendship was a lot more intact in the regular one versus the director's cut, which it was a lot more just like, oh no, they don't like each other anymore, but she's still there, which again made no sense to me.
Well, I think they justify the director's cut with the therapy scenes because she explains to her like, oh, it's because Annie is a reminder of literally that night that I had to go through, is why she kind of, it's a good explanation, but I think maybe for the story they were telling, that it's better that they're more friendly. There's more at stake
also,
there.
It doesn't make a lot of sense because, like, you can tell, like, in the hospital flashback scene that, like, they very much care for each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, sure, like once things wear off, then it's just like you remind me of like the worst night of my life.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's kind of like a weird back and forth with the whole thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's because I mean, obviously, an emotion like that is not rooted in reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at that point, you're like, I get it. Like it makes sense. But then also, you know.
Do you guys listen to Lamb of God? The band?
I know that first album from like 05.
Yeah.
That shit fucking
their
slaps.
Guitar player looks just like Michael.
Oh, really?
Like
oh,
hobo really? Michael with the long
hair. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
So the first time I saw this movie, I was like,
yeah.
Is he about to pull a guitar out and just like melt people's faces?
Oh my God. I always thought he looked like Zach Wilde a little bit.
Yeah.
He just needs that guitar.
Oh, he's huge. Yeah.
Fucking unit of a human.
Yeah,
I would have loved that they broke out into like a metal musical number at the end of the movie. as Lori falls deeper into psychosis and just suddenly just you hear guitar riffs in the back.
I actually appreciate Hobo Michael Myers because it makes sense. Like he kills once a year. What's he doing for the rest of 364 days of the year?
He's walking.
Out there walking.
This is the better Hobo Michael Myers versus the Halloween Ends Hobo Michael Myers.
Oh,
I will say that.
Jesus Christ.
Your thoughts now, Phil. Danny got his in. Now it's your time.
Kind of fun. Oh my God, the glasses are on.
Mm-hmm. I can see myself flipping you off.
It's my turn now.
All right, I'll shut up.
He kills our mics.
Yeah.
Ladies, gentlemen, and non-binary folk, your boy Phil has a hangover. You know? When I have hangovers, I like to relax and rest my body. You know what I don't like to do during a hangover? Is talk about bad movies. All right? And unfortunately, we're here. So Rob Zombie, if you're listening to this, I just want to say...
thanks.
I didn't want to do this. I was pulled into it. All I'm doing is being a good goddamn team player. That's all I'm doing. With that being said, holy fuck, dude. Jesus Christ. I don't even know where to begin. Let's begin with just simple stuff. Let's begin with shitty fucking screenwriting. Rob Zombie's screenwriting sucks. Dude, you want to talk about bad dialogue? Let's talk about some bad dialogue, please. You know what? You guys don't even have to do it. I've already pulled some up right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
I'm going to get a claw while he's doing this.
Go for it.
Do you want a claw, Phil?
Yes, please. All right.
Sir, can you
claw
me?
I'm going to start with Rob Zombie's H2 cringe dialogue. Let's go. I'm going to start from the beginning of the movie, too. It won't take up too much of our time. But here it is. Here's the first one. It ain't my first fucking corpse rodeo. Here's another one.
What's wrong with that?
You take a look at that naked chick. She was F-I-N-E. She still looked fresh. Here's another one.
You're talking about one scene in particular.
Hang on, hold on. Here we go.
Scumbag more time.
I heard a story about a couple of meat wagon boys fucking corpses. I never had the urge until tonight. Here's another one. I got wood just ziplocking her up. Here's another one.
It's all the same scene.
I know. I got more. What's the difference between jam and jelly? You can't gel your cock on a dead girl's ass. Alex and Danny, you guys support this movie. Well, guess what? Congratulations. You also support necrophilia.
What? That's not how that works.
A blow
you can
gun?
Totally
is
jelly
that,
your,
is that what you
your
call
cock on a dead girl's ass. Just not ethical.
A blowjob? Is that what you call it? I call it sucking a dick. Who says I wasn't into water sports? A little golden shower? I can keep going on about cringe dialogue in this movie, but we are on the clock. Guys, let's start at the very beginning of the movie where Rob Zombie hits us with academia from the book The Subconscious Psychosis of Dreams about the White Horse.
The cat's out to tell you you're screaming.
Sorry, Cap.
Bowie's looking out like,
Bowie's like,
you guys, Mom, what's going on?
Why are we talking about dead people and fucking them?
Why are you fighting?
As I was saying about this book, The Subconscious Psychosis of Dreams. In the very beginning, we got a little academic thing. You want to know something very interesting about The Subconscious Psychosis of Dreams?
Tell us,
the
Phil.
That book doesn't fucking exist. I did my research. That book is not real. Rob Zombie pulled that shit out of his ass because he wants to get academic with us. Dude, He just made up some bullshit jargon about white horses and dreams. Speaking of white horse, Sherry Moon Zombie cosplaying as Galadriel from Lord of the Rings. Get the fuck all the way out of here, dude.
Oh, God.
Good luck sound editing this.
That's great.
Douchebag Loomis. We've already hit a little bit about Douchebag Loomis. Here's the heartbreaking thing about this Loomis. This movie could have done without him. We did not need Loomis in this. He was totally torn from the first, Malcolm McDowell's Loomis. Completely different. Now he's a diva. Now he's like, where's my fucking coffee? That's the old Loomis. I am the new Loomis. Go give me my fucking name, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who are you? You are a complete piece of shit now. He does nothing for the entire movie until the very last thing. Because he wants to redeem himself? Because it's the right thing? No, you're going in there so you can make yourself even look better. Dude, what the fuck, man? Okay.
He got yeeted through that wall, though.
Phil's about to throw up on his fucking computer right now.
Yes.
He's about to just...
There's so much I can keep going about this movie. It's terrible, man. This movie, I understand studio interference. But guess what? You know what other movies have gotten studio interference? Star Wars, Pulp Fiction. They make it happen. Rob Zombie made it clear. Rob Zombie made it clear that he did not. He wanted to do either. Rob Zombie made it clear that he wanted to do a Chainsaw Massacre movie. Also, maybe a Jason Voorhees movie. Doesn't Rob Zombie hate Jason Voorhees? So why the fuck does Michael Myers have mommy issues here like Jason Voorhees? Since when did we have this, they're speaking telepathically to each other, but with the little kid in front?
Shout out to Halloween 5.
Also, thank you for bringing up my next point. Here we go. Alex Webster, you are famously known for trashing the Thorn trilogy.
Hold it. We're going to get to that. Later on in discussion.
Okay.
Hold it. Hold it. Okay. Hold your thorn thighs. Hold your thorn thighs.
Phil's ready and he's just...
Alex's hands are up. She's like against the wall right now.
Don't shoot.
Okay.
Thorn thoughts. You will have a chance, Phil. You will have a chance.
Okay. I will hold back and I will wait because I am a team fucking player. Okay. Obviously, I'm not a fan of this movie. It's lifeless. It sucks. This movie sucks. I'm done with it. It's down there with Resurrection and Halloween Ends. Is it the worst one? It's between this one and Resurrection for me. Halloween Ends is goddamn close, though. Halloween Ends can suck my fucking... You know what?
That's where we're censoring ourselves.
You've read dialogue. You've read worse dialogue. Than that.
I literally did. This movie has... It's no redeemable factors. Weird Al deserves better. You had Chris Hardwick. This movie doesn't feel like it was directed by Rob Zombie. This movie feels like it was directed by Kid Rock. Because it's trashy, it sucks, and it's fucking, Edgelord! Oh, dreams! Oh, and he tries to get bizarre David Lynch stuff. He's nowhere enough fucking no David Lynch. It's like the frustrating, bizarre, like, confusing shit. In the theatrical stuff, it ends with her, Lori, in the fucking, in the psycho ward. So... In the director's cut, she gets murked. She gets killed.
Yeah, she gets lit the fuck up.
And now we flash to the psycho ward. Like, what's going on? Like, why are you confusing us now? Like, did they just threw that in there?
You're combining the director's cut and the.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheap, Webster. It's cheap. Also,
it's a metaphor, Phil.
back to the climax. You're gonna have Michael Myers talk, and he says, "Die." Not since Busta Rhymes electrocuting Myers' nuts have we heard Michael Myers say anything. And point taken. It's Resurrection and H2 from Rob Zombie. Yeah, this movie sucks. Go to hell. And thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
That was a lot of energy right there.
He still has some left.
I think
he's dead.
That's when the theme music plays, but it's not playing right now.
Hey guys, what's up? What did I miss?
That's a rage black.
The sunglasses really were very different, Phil. That's Macho Phil right there.
Ooh, this movie just finds my ears.
Let me tell you some mean gene. It is not the cream of the crop. Oh yeah, let me tell you. It's a big oh no if you tell me what. It's a big oh no.
What are your thoughts, Webster? You want to follow that one up?
So yeah. I'm just going to follow it up. I'm going to keep it real, real fucking simple. I fucking liked it.
And there it is. Yes.
At the end of the day, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I think it's a Rob Zombie movie, and I think that... It
feels very zombie, yes.
It's a zombie movie, and it's a Zombert movie, if you will.
I will.
But I think Phil made some very valid criticisms of the movie. I have a few criticisms of my own. I think the flashback scene was a little too long. I think it was...
The dream scene?
Yeah.
That was like a 20-minute-long dream scene.
I know.
What the fuck? I forgot very about long. That. When I rewatched it last week, I was like, oh, fuck, that's right. It's like a 20-minute dream scene. And Octavia Spencer's in it. She's goddamn... A few years later, she went to goddamn Oscar. And she...
The glasses aren't on.
Octavia Spencer is better. Octavia Spencer is in it. And she's in a dream scene, man. Why? Octavia Spencer, I love you.
Anyways.
I like the movie. I think zombies known for being gratuitous and crass for the purpose of nothing else but being gratuitous and crass.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will say this knowing that I do like the movie. I don't think he should have ever directed Halloween movies for the exact aesthetic of Halloween movies. Mm-hmm. That being said, what he did make, I did enjoy.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the other previous Halloween movies that we've gotten, like the aesthetic of what Rob Zombie's done and what we've seen before in the past, they don't match up. So no matter what, he's going to piss people off.
Yeah.
Phil.
It's different. It's very different.
That being said, I am a fan of what he does, his aesthetic, especially also in that time in 2009. Like, I'm a fan of it. Are there criticisms? Yes. But at the end of the day, I like the movie, and Phil brought way too much energy.
Webster, all that matters is you liked it.
Exactly.
Right. I totally respect that. I love it. I totally love it. I cannot say the same. However, at the end of the day, film is subjective, baby. You know what I'm saying?
He went on that literally, I shit you not, 15-minute tirade.
It was a 15-minute-long dream scene.
I was literally at the end of it, I was going to be like, hey, so we haven't been recording, Phil. Could you do that one? Can you put the glasses back on?
I can do it again if you want.
It's my fucking rant and I'll just do it. Oh boy.
And then at the end of that, he's like, hey, film is subjective, baby.
That's because the glasses are off.
Yeah, all the rage is gone.
That's evil Phil is gone.
Yeah, that's good. I want that to be a continuous gimmick for sure.
I'll have mine at some point. Because, like, here's the thing. There are some movies that Phil loves that I absolutely do not. The Thorn Trilogy, which we'll get into.
Oh, we're going to get into that for sure. Yes,
I'm really looking forward to what you...
Yeah, coming up.
Yeah,
coming up.
But Anthony.
Oh, yeah. So, I've seen this movie a handful of times since it released. 2009, right?
Yeah.
2013 now, so 14 years. Literally.
Did you say it was 2013?
No, 2009.
No.
You said 13 years ago.
No. You said 2009. It's 2013 now, so 13 years ago.
No, is that 2013?
That is what you said. All
right, 2023, yeah.
I wish it was 2013.
I know, dude. What a different time. So, literally every time I've watched this movie, once I remember it's a flashback and the flashback happens, I literally pause and look at the time and like, how much more movie do I have? Every time. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
And I hate that I do that because I'm kind of into the hospital scene.
Yeah.
But it's a zombie rug pull that I think this movie does too much throughout the whole movie. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm with you. I'm with you. I like the direction. We bullshitted it again. Fuck.
Yeah,
fuck.
Man.
Again, I am bamboozled.
Yeah. Again, I am bamboozled every time. So, but I will say, I think the theatrical cut, because I've seen both intermittent between, the past decade and a half. Theatrical is my go-to. I like a much more sympathetic Laurie.
Yeah.
I like, less time, honestly, within this movie.
it seems like theatrical cuts for Halloween movies kind of have that trend where they're a little better than
they are
than the producer's cut or the director's cut, because Curse of Michael Myers, producer's cut, there was incest in that shit. You know?
No, yeah, I agree.
You know? And I was like, yeah, I prefer the fucking theatrical cut where there is no, you know, Michael Myers, yeah.
They're both messy in their own ways.
They are.
I think because it's already a gratuitous movie,
yeah,
adding 13 minutes more gratuity kind of doesn't do any favors, to be honest with you.
I will say, I do feel like almost sad that we didn't get to see the full vision that Rob Zombie wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like a lot of the criticisms that do exist might have been remedied.
If he had been able to shoot literally like his handful of scenes that he had to cut.
That he wanted, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It might have tied things together.
I think
also,
so too.
Shout out to Margot Kidder for playing the psychiatrist.
That's right. R.L.
Stein.
R.I.P.
From what's that show not Goosebumps, there was another R.L. Stein show and she was in it. I forgot the name of it.
Well, she's also in Black Christmas,
Superman. She's Lois Lane.
She's most iconically Lois Lane, but I know her mostly from Black Christmas. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. So for this movie, I would say I enjoyed Annie being back in the movie. I enjoyed Brad Dourif as Brackett.
Yes.
All that stuff worked for me.
His fucking mustache.
Yeah.
Honestly, him eating the pizza, like being a fucking weirdo about it.
He just seems like he doesn't know how to control his life. That's fine. That's fine by me. And then also, I actually do like shitty Loomis, only because I feel like I would have been bored with a retread of the older Loomis style. Because even Donald Pleasance wasn't the same Loomis really from the first movie. He became way more unhinged and psychotic and obsessed.
True.
This version has a monetary drive for the trauma. He experiences trauma through capitalism.
Being a snubby capitalist.
Being a snubby capitalist. And that I'm fine with. To me, the biggest weakness, unfortunately, it's the Laurie storyline, which is most of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And it really, I'm like, fuck. Like, it just makes me not enjoy it so much. I don't like the side characters. When they all die, I'm like, they're fodder. Kill the fuck out of them.
When she snaps and basically just starts living at a crust punk house.
That's what I was like, look at this crust punk ass woman. Like, oh my God.
That was a little, like, I'm just like, Haddonfield really is like, God, the shit, hasn't it?
Yeah. These teenagers are all as dumb as they were in Halloween 5, except they're way less fun.
They're all like adults now.
That's true. Okay, but like that's a good reflection of the era it came out in because that's when people
they
were
had
like
to age them up cause
living
also,
with their parents and shit.
Right. Well, also Rob Zombie is also like, I want to show boobies, so they're all gonna be 18.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rob Zombie like, here's my demands, tits. I'm gonna put them in this movie in one way, shape, or form.
it's one of those things where I think, God, it could have been a better movie, I think, Rob Zombie had more chance to make it his own rather than they rug pulled his ass and said, you're gonna do Halloween shit and you're gonna do some of the shit you like and make it work. And I don't think he just had the full opportunity he should have had here. But it's a handful of times I've seen it over the past 10 years or so, whatever, because I can only stomach it so many every other, like, 4 years. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just hard. Like, and the thing, I really want to like parts of it. Again, Brad Dourif is a great Sheriff Brackett, but man, did I love 2007 a lot more than this one. Like, there's something about 2007 to me that was really bold. This one's bold, but not as well executed, unfortunately.
It hits the mark for you. Or it misses the mark for you.
It misses the mark where I think 2007 did everything it needed to do. Like,
Brad Dourif, he had more screen time in this one, but, like, I don't know. I still kind of like the 2007 Brad Dourif Sheriff Brackett more.
He's so dad energy in both movies.
Yeah, he really is.
Like, he just, in a fucked up world.
Oh, I love the fuck out of it. This is how much I hated Loomis in this movie. I loved it when Sheriff gave him a fucking kisser.
Oh,
like,
fucking
punched him right in the fucking face.
It's heel Loomis.
Yes.
It's heel Loomis.
It's seriously heel
Loomis. He's Triple H Loomis right there.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I like him, actually. Yeah.
You brought up a good, I hate this Loomis, but you do bring up a good point of him being like a heel and a real piece of shit, but I love Brad Dourif, but like I know I keep making fun of it, but in the theatrical cut he just sees a dead Annie and just falls to the ground and cries. In the director's cut you hear the infamous, "Ooh, God, no, Annie."
wind up Doll Loomis right there, okay. Just wind
then,
him up.
And
right
then he
before.
Says, and then he starts, and then he starts doing the Michael Scott, no, 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 like God, literally, no. He literally, God, no. He literally did the Michael Scott, no, God, no, no.
Okay, I will say that scene when Annie dies, which first of all, very sad. The only death that I truly cared about.
Yeah.
And so there was that, but like when they're dragging him away and you get flashbacks to like baby Danielle Harris in the director's cut, because that's not in the theatrical cut.
Yeah.
Like, in the director's cut, you get flashbacks to like, and I'm like, Danielle Harris like provided like baby photos for this.
I thought that committed. Was cool, but I thought it was a weird creative choice. Like, hey, she was a child once. Just like everybody fucking else.
I think it was for, like, emotional impact because...
Rob
like,
Zombie did do that in the first Halloween movie, too, when Laurie shot fucking Michael in the face. You see baby Laurie and fucking baby and kid Michael do the same thing with Danielle Harris, except it was, like, real footage of Danielle Harris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was really weird. How long, how much time do we have?
Well, we're at an hour.
Oh, good, good, good. Oh. Okay, cool, cool, cool. We are fine.
Oh, as Al Pacino in Send Up a Woman says, oh, I'm just getting warmed up. Hoorah!
Hoorah!
If they would have let me in, I would have brought a fireplace to this place.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay. I'm going to skip one
now
of these questions.
There's a letter being delivered to my apartment saying I'm getting evicted.
I'm going to skip one of these questions because it might be a little long-winded, but... This one I'm actually interested in everybody's take here. This movie actually does remain divisive, but has become actually, in the past few years, much more of an internet darling. It is gaining a reputation as a very underrated film. So, I said that so Tucker Carlson-y. That was fucking horrible.
Internet film!
Why do you think the internet has recently taken a liking to this particular zombie film compared to literally even the remake, like most other movies in the franchise?
Because like many movies, the internet gives it some time to marinate. They trash it at first, they hate it at first, but just like the Joker in The Dark Knight says, they need you now, but when they don't... they'll cast you out.
Yeah, like a leper.
So if you don't join the gang, so if you don't join the gang of liking a movie that once was hated, but give it some like 10 years, now we're loving it now.
Yeah.
They did it to so many movies. They've done it to so many movies. This is one of them. I've been noticing this thing where the Rob Zombie Halloween movies is getting a lot of appreciation. That's cool. I can't hate on it. Like I said, film subjective, baby. But
did he just say I can't hate on it?
Well, 15 minutes of hating happened.
I can't hate on the trend of people liking movies that were once trashed.
It's like context.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I mean, hey man, if people like it, if you like it, you like it, man. You know, but just don't make the director ever apologize for a movie like the fandom made Joel Schumacher apologize for Batman and Robin. Yeah.
That was sad.
I fucking am ashamed of the fandom when they made him do that. Well, so don't make Rob Zombie apologize for shit.
Rob Zombie himself disowns this movie. Only because, but it's not because, I think it's because of the studio interference.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
I mean, I can see that just like as a creative myself. Like, I mean, at one point, when does it stop being yours, right?
Yes. And when did he just do the job?
Right. And I can see that would be a very easy decision to make to disown something when, like, after a certain point, it stops being yours.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, there were even worse stories that I had discovered in my research here that I was like, that would be too long a section of just them fucking zombie over. Let's just do the highlights.
That's rough.
Highlight reel. Mm-hmm. Highlight reel. Yay. But what do you think the internet, though, has taken hold of this movie in particular? I have my reason, but you guys do your thing.
I honestly have no idea because I haven't seen...
like the Discord
anybody,
change?
Yeah, anybody bringing it up again? I'm usually the one who brings it up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends don't watch horror movies the way like we do, and like to the extent that we do.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like, oh, it's a October only thing.
Yeah.
So they'll maybe come across it during October, but nobody really talks about it. And so I'm like, oh shit, I didn't know it was coming back like on the internet like that. I think. Phil is right that like it's one of those things that people hated on, forgot about, and then somebody watched it because they're like, oh yeah, this movie's bad, and they rewatched it and they're like, oh, it's not as bad as I remember, or as bad as I thought, or as bad as, like,
yeah, or I'm a different person now. Yeah, yeah. Holy shit.
So I think they're like, oh shit, not that bad. And like, it's one of those things where they just tell their friends, hey, go watch this again, here's my fucking DVD of it.
It only takes one YouTuber to make Halloween 2000, Halloween 2 from Rob Zombie. Is it a misunderstood masterpiece?
Yeah.
And then with a thumbnail of a guy going, huh? Like, yeah. Misunderstood gem? Like,
with you can giant call it, Michael in the background.
I have this theory that if there's an opinion, there's always a contrarian opinion. And those, there's two YouTube videos you can make from those. You will always have a comment section supporting either one. Yeah, like, you just will.
Well, I mean, that's how opinions work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, now you have an opportunity to just upvote it. So if your dialogue is this, the top comment's going to be this. Yeah. And anybody who felt whatever can control the narrative from there.
Well, and that's just the nature of, like, the, I guess, the toilet that YouTube is going down right now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fucking plane.
Pausing for plane.
Can we leave that noise?
What the hell was that? Dude, you sound like Dave Chappelle and Nutty Professor. Loving you is beautiful, Reggie.
But like, why do you think so Webster, what's your take on the internet
as a
recent love affair with
sure as someone who has been described as chronically online before, I think that the internet, and I think you guys have kind of also touched on this already, but the internet loves an underdog.
Yeah.
And I think Filt also touched on this, like, if you let something marinate for long enough, eventually people are going to, like, rediscover it. It's okay, Phil.
He's like, the look on your face.
I thought, okay. I was like,
But, yeah, I think if you let something marinate for long enough, people are going to, like, rediscover it. Mm-hmm. I think also this was a big thing that happened during quarantine. People went through, like, a big old backlog of things like, oh, I've kind of always wanted to watch this, or I've kind of always wanted to revisit this, and I never have. Mm-hmm. And then they did, and they developed, like, oh, I actually do kind of like this, or, oh, this movie's bad, but I do enjoy it. Like, just, like, those kinds of opinions. And I think it caused a lot of a resurgence in kind of like cult or internet cult favorites.
Yeah. The demographic was suddenly like now, and it has its own segment. It has its own segment, essentially. Yeah.
But yeah, the fan base for Rob Zombie movies is surprisingly, I have found, either like 35 and older men, and then like 25 and younger women. Like, it's so fascinating.
And like, they all love Living Dead Girl, they say it in their hearts.
No, they all love Dracula, they all love Living Dead Girl. Like, it's all like, it's just whether or not they call Rob Zombie girly pop or not.
Look, I just want to go on record and say, I know I've been trashing the hell out of this movie, but I fucking love House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects. Those are solid ass fucking movies.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna go see fucking House of a Thousand Corpses.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Waitlist, baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing.
He'd probably be all right though.
Yeah. See Robert Zombert.
Robert Zombert
in the flesh.
I like his movies. The guy's a solid filmmaker. It's just these Halloween movies. The first one is acceptable for me. I actually kind of sort of enjoy that first one. This one was like a complete 180. But like his overall, I still haven't seen The Munsters, but I've heard some things too.
Yeah. I've heard mixed.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard it's perfectly fine, and I've heard it's.
But his first two flicks, I'm a fan of those two flicks. Yeah. Those are awesome.
I haven't seen Three from Hell yet, which is like the third.
I saw Three from Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not House of a Thousand Corpses, obviously, and it's not The Devil's Rejects, but it's kind of fun.
Which one did we watch?
We watched Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem. Yeah.
Lords of Salem is fucking dope.
Yeah.
Really?
Shining Zombie
actually does pretty good in the movie.
Yeah. And it's like, it's music centric. So like, it's about this like band with this haunting music that like kind of possesses her, and it's a trip. And I think it's like Rob Zombie having fun with like a haunted record idea, where it's not the record that's haunted, but like it's what they're playing and the music and the vibes it gives.
Right.
It's super creepy. Like, there's a lot of shit where she's like walking in her apartment and there's just like a thing in the corner.
Oh.
And it's like, obviously it wasn't there before, but it's just there. It's not looking at the camera or at her. It's just like dead staring at nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And so it has some like shots like that. It's pretty good. It was fun.
So, see, he needs his own universe. Yeah. I think when he works in other people's universes, it's a hit and miss.
I think that's what it is. It's like not a complete OG Rob Zombie story. Mm-hmm. It's still him adapting.
Would you guys agree if I said that Rob Zombie is kind of like the Kevin Smith of horror? Except it's not like an established universe like how Kevin Smith has like with VSQ.
Yeah, the VSQ universe. Yeah.
Mm.
Like, I mean, it's just not an established universe, but it really should be, though.
No, I think it is pretty established. Mm-hmm. I would say he's very similar to Kevin Smith in that regard.
Because he's got his own fan base, like Kevin Smith. A lot of people are very divisive with him, his work.
Yeah.
Just like Kevin Smith. I don't know.
I wouldn't say that, because also, much like Kevin Smith, there's some movies that I absolutely fucking love, and then there's some movies that I'm kind of about.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. But they're all within the same rules and playbook, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, I would say that. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, like, people feel very strongly about, like, Dogma or Jane and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Mallrats.
I was going to say Mallrats.
See, Mallrats is, again, what... Well, Mallrats is kind of like a hit or miss with people.
Yeah,
but then there's Jersey Girl.
No, I know. It's true.
And then there's Jersey Girl. That's I like that.
I remember seeing that one.
I will say the Halloween 2, the poster of Michael, like,
That's a badass poster.
That's a great art.
I think that's what like sold me. To, obviously, I was gonna go watch the movie, but that's what like, got me hyped about it. It was just like him in the action stabbing down. That's
a
like
badass.
That.
Like it's a badass fucking poster, and he's wearing the mask, which is something he didn't do a lot in this one.
You see a lot of his face.
I hate that. Actually, I really hate that. I hate that. Yeah.
I will say for what they did with Michael in this, you see a lot of his face, and I was a little surprised about how much he spoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much characterization.
Well, because let's bring it back to this movie.
He got beat the fuck down in that field.
Yeah.
And, like, they beat the shadow.
I was like, what are they doing to him? No.
Michael.
Leave something. Him alone. Leave him alone.
And he eats
just
a dog
doing
after.
Slow
like,
Forrest Gump. Leave him alone.
But actually, for my take on this one, just a very simple thing. David Gordon Green's trilogy happened. And people realize they're like, oh, I'm not getting the fix I thought I was going to get. Yeah. Let me go back and see if there's anything else I like that we've done before.
I'm so excited for October because I cannot wait to talk about Halloween.
So it's going to be such a different dive, like, for sure. But yeah, it is one of those things, too. I think people who didn't get their fix from David Gordon Green went back and they're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Actually, not a little more my cup of tea. And then, you know, you give it a couple more viewings and it becomes something you're familiar with and you end up finding things you really like about it. Right. So, yeah. I think it's the same thing that happens, and I'm going to bring my nerd side out a lot here with every Zelda game that comes out. It's the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? You know this.
Yeah, people immediately hate it. They go back and play an older game that they hate.
The one right before.
Yeah.
They're, like,
this
you know
what?
This is
actually
good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then another one sequel happens again, and then the one that everybody hated, they're like, wait a second. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
they got to come up with a term for that. The act of doing that.
That exactly.
There's got to be a term for that. You know,
I think it's recency bias? No, that's the opposite.
I don't know. There's got to be an established term for that.
We'll come up
Recency bitching. Like, that's
There you go.
This is a fun one. Michael's motivation is his ghost mother with a white horse that is guiding him toward his ultimate goal of reconnecting with Lori. Replace Lori with one of your own goals. What would your personal ghost mother horse motivator combo B.
This is like a motivational exercise. I love it.
Yeah, there you go. What's your goal here? What's going on?
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
What would push you? What's your visual approximation if you were on your way to do it and you'd be like, okay, cool. I'm following this white bitch. That's what I'm doing.
Follow the skinny bitch.
Are you asking us to replace Sherry Moon Zombie with a horse, or what would be the motivation to follow Sherry Moon with a horse?
Oh, replace Sherry Moon Zombie, and then also, what would be your Laurie Strode?
Oh,
what would be your goal?
Okay. Man, that's a good question.
I wasn't ready.
I was not ready for this one.
What's your answer? I feel like you wrote this, so I'm sure you had time.
I actually didn't even think about
this.
Well, if I were to replace Sherry Moon Zombie with the white horse with something, it would probably be Ana de Armas and Paddington.
Ana de Armas and Paddington.
It might be cheating because they could both talk. So the horse wasn't able to talk in the movie. So I would follow Ana de Armas and Paddington wherever the hell. The motivation would be, if I were to kill people,
I would be reunited with Paddington and Ana de Armas, right? So the motivation would be, she would say, Philip, if you go ahead and, you know, kill people, then you, me, and little Paddington here, we can go ahead and live a happy life, and we would go to France, and we would go to Mexico, and we would just travel and be happy together, and we would eat tons and tons of marmalade sandwiches. I would go on a killing spree just for that. That's my motivation. Boom.
I thought you were gonna have Paddington be the only one to talk, and she just.
Oh, white horse! Wow, that's really good.
I was like,
yeah, that would have been really good. Oh, damn! I kind of want to change my answer to that.
No, that's great. That's great. I think mine is pretty similar because it would literally just be 2002 Rachel Weisz from The Mummy. Mummy Returns. And like a 3DS with all the games on it. That would be it. She just like, listen, write your fucking stand-up bits, you bitch. Like, she would just keep motivating me.
You fucking idiot.
You're like, yeah. Fix your rent situation, you fucking asshole. And I'm like, it was just the games right there. I'm like, I can play with like, both of you. Yes, I will do this.
I will do whatever you want.
I will do exactly that. Ooh, okay. Career and financial situation is going to be in order, ma'am. So that would be my motivation. Yeah, Rachel Weisz from 2002.
Nice.
And a 3D.
So for sure, my... The goal here is the same thing. I just not want to be poor. Yeah. I want to be able to afford to be alive and also afford to die if that does happen, because nice. I can't afford to do either right now.
Yeah.
But I am going to stay very themed, and it is definitely... sorry, I got real close to saying Lori. Not Lori. It's going to be Danielle as Annie.
Oh. Annie. Mm.
That woman, man. Yeah. She could get
Danielle
it.
Danielle Harris? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's
What's the white horse, though?
What's the white horse?
Yeah.
What does
I'll replace
she
it with
have?
The Switch with all the games. We'll do that. Yeah. I gotta get my Breath of the Wild on.
Yeah, there you go.
Give me a second.
Okay. The white horse in my situation will just be like a huge version of Britannia.
There you go. Oh, giant Britannia.
Just a giant
just screaming
Britannia.
At you?
Just screaming at me to get my shit together. And next to Britannia would be Bring It On era Eliza Dushku.
Yeah. Oh, that's my girl.
Your giant cat image that you gave me, I'm going to send it to you after we're done recording. Somebody replaced iconic movie characters with his cat. So when it came to Jurassic Park,
I've seen that.
The T-Rex was replaced with a giant fucking cat.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Just,
that is phenomenal.
And then the goal would be just making a podcast network so successful that I don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, there we go. I am with that. I am with that.
Mm-hmm. Or this be what I work on.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, this be my job.
Here comes the money.
Dude, hearing that live was so fucking awesome.
When that thing hit,
I was like, my dad got super fucking hyped in.
It's a shame he broke his leg.
Dude, he tore his fucking quad like father, like son.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. WrestleMania for all the listeners here. My God. That night one viewing at Reeks, though, was so
fun.
That was so
fun.
That was so
fun.
That was awesome. Night one was fantastic.
Yeah, wrestling is back, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're back.
I think it's just because we all are just like getting back into it.
Yeah. Yep.
American Nightmare. Yeah. Let's do it.
Ugh.
You still got a shot. You still got a shot. All right.
Yes.
Okay. So did you get back?
Oh, actually, no. Yeah, it's just gonna be my dog.
Okay.
Just my dog Ghost just walking around with Danielle Harris.
That sounds awesome.
I like it. Okay. Well, we're at the big question now. So, Thorn Trilogy versus H2O Resurrection Timeline versus the Zombie Verse. Which one reigns supreme? Which one sits in the middle? Which one belongs in the fucking grave? Rank them and explain every reason why they in your thing.
Bill, don't do it.
For all the folks are
he's grabbing the glasses.
I'm putting the glasses.
He's grabbing the glasses.
Back on.
Phil's first. Just do it. Just do it.
What's up, dicks? I'm back. That Phil is gone. I'm here now. What's up? Thorn Trilogy.
Don't have an ad yours.
Zombie verse. Which one reigns supreme? Shit. Well, let me just fucking tell you why the Thorn Trilogy fucking rules over all these guys, alright?
if it wasn't for the Thorn Trilogy, we wouldn't be having H2O Resurrection or the Zombieverse, because they needed to play this weird experimentation with a young Daniel Harris, with the Man in Black, with a 25-year-old Paul Rudd. We needed to see the Cult of Thorn and, you know, say what you will, but if it wasn't for those three movies, we wouldn't get H2O Resurrection. And if it wasn't for those three movies, we wouldn't get the fucking Zombieverse, dude. Rank them?
Yeah, I understand why they exist.
Thorn Trilogy, and then...
Thorn Trilogy number one.
Yeah, that's my first one. H2O is an awesome fucking movie, but Resurrection fucking sucks.
Yeah, pretty garbage.
But the first zombie one was pretty cool, but not as good as H2O, and I think for that, and I think Zombies H2 and Resurrection both fucking suck. So I think I'm going to go Thorn Trilogy, H2O timeline, and then the Zombieverse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Respectable rating. Respectable rating. How about you, Senorita Webster?
Well, I need Phil to take his glasses off first and get back to nice Phil.
About before anybody gets help.
Hey, what's going?
Hey, Phil. I'll say, as soon as you started reading them, Phil's reaction was... He just leaned in, eyes got huge, and the hand slowly started to like the hand was shaking.
He's about to go Ric Flair, dude. He's just about to desert. He's about to chop all of us.
Mean Gene! My God!
I am going to do Zombieverse 1, Thorn Trilogy sits in the middle, and I'm going to do H2O and Resurrection in the Grave, just because I remember hating, I just hated Resurrection so much. But I'm torn because I hated the Thorn Trilogy overall.
You're allowed to be wrong.
That's fine. I know I'm the outlier in this situation. Don't do it, Phil.
Webster.
This is my turn. No, it's my turn. You I
put
let
the
you
glasses
talk.
Back
I
on.
Let you talk.
He put it back down. He put it back down.
It's fine, everybody.
So, which one reigns supreme? In my opinion, I had the most fun with the Zombieverse.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to keep that as my number one because both of those movies I had a good time with versus Thorn Trilogy and then the H2O Resurrection timeline because I had issues with both of those movies or both of those timelines. So for the one that sits in the middle, I'm going to put H2O and Resurrection in the middle, and then I am going to the Thorn Trilogy. I can't do it.
Throw Thorn down and below.
Below. I can't do it.
Listen to all our previous Thorn Trilogy episodes for Alex's take on every one of them. She is outraged every time.
Every single fucking
time. She's wearing
time.
The sunglasses in those ones.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But also, you can listen to the H2O one, I think. No. Yeah, because the Resurrection one. Because one of those ones, I just got COVID and I had no voice whatsoever.
I think it was Resurrection.
It was Resurrection.
I think it was Resurrection.
Yeah, I had no voice whatsoever. And so you can listen to that one for my spicy takes on Resurrection that sucks. But yeah, that's my rank.
Okay, I'll go and then Danny, you're topping up.
Go ahead.
I would say actually my number one is H2O Resurrection Trilogy of the one, or the trilogy, the timeline.
Okay.
As bad as Resurrection is, it is very watchable.
Okay.
It's stupid, dumb, shitty, but I sometimes am baffled by how bad it is and I can keep watching it. However, I also think H2O is the best sequel. H2O is hands down the best sequel to me. Maybe not Halloween 2, but like, you know. Other than that, it's actually a very good sequel, and I would say it's a style of movie. I'm just a sucker for the Scream style, like, horror movies.
Yeah.
The Kevin Williamson.
Yeah.
Kevin Williamson.
And this one was ghostwritten by Kevin Williamson. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? Give it to me. I'm with that. It's the most 1998 horror movie.
What the frick are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, to me, it's the ultimate, like, really shitty and really top tier, but I think... there's enough of a balance between that they work. Middle is absolutely the Thorn Trilogy. Because also nostalgia. I have grew up watching the Thorn Trilogy. I don't like it as much as an adult as I did when I was a kid. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that weird, goofy experimentation from it, it has a lot of merit. I appreciate the boldness.
It has heart.
It has a lot of heart. Halloween 5 is such a stupid fucking movie, but I can tell you there's so many times where I can't look away. I just can't look away. I'm like, shit, that was dumb. But, you know, yeah, all these stupid Haddonfield teenagers, let me see them get taken out. I'm fine. I'm fine. Zombieverse, man. Again, I would actually do a third. I love the first one. But they just, they're not as easy to watch, I think, as some of the other movies in the series. So for me, I got to be in a particular mood for the zombie movies. And I think because of that little caveat, they're number three. But I would say they're all within, they're not, it's not big gaps between one, two, and three. They're all kind of just Halloween sequels. So yeah, that would be my take on it. Danny?
I am doing Thorn Trilogy, Zombieverse, and then H2O.
You put Thorn Trilogy first.
I did.
I see you're a man of culture.
Indeed. Indeed we are. Yeah, again, Thorn Trilogy, I do actually very much enjoy. But also, it is the nostalgia thing, too, because that is what, like... I mean, I mentioned it the first time I was on the show, where, like, one of the first horror movies I ever saw was the OG Halloween.
Yeah.
And then I just ended up watching all of them with my dad and my uncle. And
all that were out at the time.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, and I think, like, because the Thorn Trilogy was so, like, fresh at the time, like, oh, here's the most recent ones, and we, like, throw it on and watch it. And so, like, I do have those, like, memories of watching those, and really enjoying them. And I was like, man, who's that cute mute girl?
Kid, you was like, is she gonna be my wife?
Yeah, like, could I... Is she single?
When I was a kid, I had a crush on her and Christina Ricci and Casper.
Christina Ricci is the ultimate kid crush. I was like seven
watching Halloween 4, and I was like, I think I have a crush on the girl, Jamie. Because we're like the same age. I think she was like a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
In that movie. Because Danielle Harris is like, what, 40-something now?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
she's older than us by like almost a decade.
Yeah, pushing 45, maybe? Yeah, something like that. And she is still a fox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. She could get it.
She's 45.
45, yeah. So yeah, she's fine. A decade older than us, and that is good, man. She's aging like mine.
Okay. You follow her on Instagram?
I sure do.
God damn.
I think we all do. Sure. Look at the mutual friends. We're all there.
Do you guys listen to her podcast?
I listen to some.
A lot of it just gets like real horny sometimes, and I'll be sitting there like, I should be listening to this at work. I hear Danielle tell stories, and suddenly I'm excited. I feel weird at work.
I'm just gonna sit at my desk today, sir.
I need you to go get papers from this courtroom. I can't.
I can't.
Give me 5 minutes. I gotta think about something else for a little bit.
let me listen to some music, distract myself a little bit, calm down.
Oh, it's funny. Okay, so I think we all have vastly different rankings. That's pretty interesting. Nice.
Yeah, because we're all different people with different opinions.
Yeah, but very way different.
Speaking of tastes and opinions.
Oh my god.
Webster.
Let me have it.
Webster.
Yep.
Listen,
the glasses are
you put
on.
Thorn Trilogy at last.
Yep.
I respect your decision.
Sure. No, you don't.
And but let me just do the old calling out when I see something weird.
Sure.
You know, Zombieverse was what, your first? What goes first? It goes
Zombieverse.
Zombieverse, and then H2O Resurrection, and then Thorn Trilogy?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, okay, you know, the movie that we're talking about today, H2, right? Halloween 2?
Yeah.
You know, you put Thorn Trilogy at the bottom. You are famously notorious for trashing the Thorn Trilogy.
Uh-huh.
And I've stood by for far too long watching you do this. You had issues with Michael Myers following orders. The telepathic link between Jamie and Michael, right? You know what the zombie movie had?
Yeah.
It had Michael Myers taking orders, and it had a psychic link between Jamie and Galadriel. I mean, Sherry Moon Zombie.
Yeah.
So, I just think it's a little weird. That you're like, hey, I hate this shit. Is it a fact of recreationally just hating the Thorn Trilogy? Is that what's going on here? Do you like to get my blood boiling? Is that what's going on here? I can't do this anymore.
The glasses are off.
I can't do it anymore.
The character's hard to play.
No, alright, yeah.
He's like, first of all, how dare you?
Yes, first of all, how dare you?
But yeah, I'm just fucking around. Yeah, if you like it, you like it. If you don't,
She just stone faced. She's about to give him a tombstone through the table right there.
I'm calm.
And that's what scares me.
And that's why we're actually
he's like, I am not breaking her. Holy shit.
don't know. Someone's just a little emotional.
I'm wearing a Halloween jacket.
Aren't you warm?
He's the only one in the Halloween jacket.
I was going to say, aren't you warm?
It's really warm. Once we're done with this episode, I'm taking his jacket off.
You didn't have to wear the jacket.
He has jacket off. No, Webster, I did.
If he doesn't wear the jacket, then who is he?
He doesn't have his powers.
This is sad.
This is sad.
It's like Samson just with the fucking Halloween jacket.
It's like when we all thought we were Superman. We put a towel over our neck. Oh, that's me. Yeah. Jacket.
Okay, so let me just rein this back in. What would you guys rate Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 out of 5 hospital flashbacks? Go for it, Danny.
Shit.
3 out of 5.
You know what? I'm gonna, in comparison to all of the movies in the entire franchise, it's gonna get 2.5 out of 5. It's like right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Again, I do like the first one more than this one. But I still watch it. Like, yeah. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right, 2.5.
I don't hate it at all. I can watch it.
That's good.
But it is a very long hospital flashback.
Yeah, we were talking about that. We're like, this is really long.
I literally always forget because I'm like...
I always forget.
Oh, yeah. And then she runs out in the rain and I'm like, it's been 25 minutes. And Buddy's about to die and he's going to tear up that building. And then she wakes up screaming and we're a quarter of the way through the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a dream sequence. And I'm just glad that the security officer, Buddy, is actually alive because he died in the dream. So Buddy should be alive.
Should be.
If it's not just like a figment of her imagination.
Yeah. Mm. When Buddy's getting killed, she goes, Buddy!
Also, he leaves for like 2 seconds, yeah. And then she starts freaking out.
She starts freaking out.
And she's not even in the car.
Yeah, just give him a minute to get to his car.
I know, let him turn the ignition on.
That's so... Okay, I like that. Okay, so, damn. I'm kind of... This is a 2 for me at the most. And I'm pushing for a 2. Like, it's actually... I kind of want to do 1.8.
Oh my god.
Like, I... Because it's not... It's just hard. It's a hard watch every time, mm-hmm. despite it having a lot of merit. I give it 2 because there are pockets of imagination in here that I think actually could work if it wasn't in the whole of the movie. So I'm going to give it a 2. Definitely not something I... It might be there with Resurrection for me. It really might be. Resurrection, Halloween 6, and this movie, and Halloween Ends. All the concluding chapters in every Michael Myers saga, they never know how to end this bitch. They are all low ranking for me. Yeah, they're all. And this, I would say, is a 2, specifically because of the production value is better than any of those other movies. Right. Nah, Halloween Ends has good production value, but it's also way dumber than this one. So
dumb.
Yeah.
Halloween Ends was dumb.
Yeah, I'll give it a 2. Yeah, there's talent behind it. So, you know, I will acknowledge the talents. But man, do I not want to watch this for a while. So,
Webster. Hit his quota for the 4 years.
I did.
It's like the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. In comparison to all the other Halloween movies, I'm going to give this a 2.5 as well. I think it's a perfectly fine movie. I think, and that's why I came here ready to defend it, because I think it gets unnecessary hate.
It gets a lot of hate, but it gets a lot of love now too.
Unnecessary?
Motherfucker, let me finish.
You think it's unnecessary for me to drink Mellon
Urine? No, but it's sterile.
No, but it's sterile. I like the taste.
Phil, take the jacket off.
Oh, I'm good.
But no, I think it gets an unnecessary amount of hate, which is why I came in like ready to fucking defend this movie. But at the end of the day, like, there's a lot that I could critique about this movie, but I do overall enjoy it. I think it can be a little rough to get through because there's like some, it has the dream sequence.
Yeah.
It was like Alex is about to have a stroke.
But
words?
No, 2.5.
Okay. Phil.
Yeah.
Can we get 2 ratings? One without and one with the glasses?
Okay.
No. Take the glasses off.
I speak for both me and Evil Phil. But this is going to be an honest 1.5 for me.
Yeah.
I think I also scored Resurrection and Halloween Ends 1.5, I believe.
I think so.
I think all 3 of these are 1.5. Very bold statement you said about 6. I'm going to let it pass. And that's okay. But this one I think it was just they fumbled the ball big time in this one. I appreciate the first Rob Zombie Halloween more a little bit more than this, but this is forgettable. It's lifeless when all the other ones have some kind of heart. Well, you know, except for Halloween Ends. This one was just a big no for me. I don't ever want to see this again. It's down there with the movies I just mentioned, and it can go to hell. The guy, he's gifted, he's cool. I think he did a little too much shaky cam with the stuff. With a lot of stuff, but there's even one point where it turned into a Rob Zombie music video.
It did. Oh, I forgot about that one.
You know, and it's cool. You know, he's doing his thing. You know, I can't hate on his art. You know, that's his art. And, overall, the movie's just a big mess. It's a big, big mess. And, 1.5.
We'll hear David Gordon Green opinions in just 6 months from now, Phil. So keep those intact also.
Hell yeah.
Let me just say this right now. Fuck David Gordon Green.
Glasses are off. Keep them off.
Glasses are off. Put these over here.
Keep the one.
Yeah. I'll elbow drop somebody through this table right now.
Don't.
It's always through this table.
It's always through the table. Please, no. All right. Let's go ahead and wrap it up here. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this week. That was Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 from 2009.
Bam.
Next week, we're going a little foreign with this.
We are. With a movie I haven't seen, actually.
With a movie I enjoy, a movie Phil enjoys, and a movie that you've never seen.
I'll be new to it, yep.
Ooh, so that'll be fun. Stay tuned for that. I'm very excited because we haven't done a non-English language horror film in a minute.
We're
overdue.
I'm so glad to bring that to the table.
Yeah, me as well. Okay, cool. So let's see. Plugs. If you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. You can find Phil on Instagram and YouTube at Phil Acevedo. And Danny, make your plugs, because I know you got a few.
I do. If you guys haven't listened to the other podcast that Alex and I are on the network, Turning Tables, we're playing D&D. It's a good time. We get silly and we get pretty horny in the episodes coming up. So it's exciting.
It's a lot.
I also have my own show on here called Hops and Notes. When is this episode coming out?
Next week. So that Friday.
Wednesday, yeah.
So this Wednesday.
Wednesday coming up?
So you'll have something.
I know episode one is out, but episode two is out on Friday.
Nice.
So I'm pretty hyped for that. Alex is on both of those. I have Phil coming on episode 4.
Yeah.
I just need to edit that. It's very loud. We were screaming a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a good time. And yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Go check it out. I'm also on Instagram at Wrathchild714.
Cool.
Oh, I forgot to plug my show also. Also, I talk about game shit every week. NPC.gaming.pod.
That is every other week.
Huh?
Is it every week or
every other week? Yeah.
It's NPC.
Game time. Yeah, it's a fun time. We talk shit on the modern gaming industry. It's a lot to talk about.
And all of those podcasts are under the Horrible People's Network, which you can stay up to date on all of those podcasts on Instagram at Horrible People's Network, which is HORROR BLE, People's Network. So thank you so much, everyone, for all your...
Does he have the plug or no?
She just plugged me right
now. Yeah. I'm tripping.
Been plugged.
I did my job.
My bad.
Webster plugged me pretty hard.
I missed it.
Can we make those t-shirts?
Webster plugged me.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We're going to go now. Bye.
You get plugged.